It's Monday, January 9th, and it's part two of the episode from the Iphonography podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is part two where we talk about our recent photos that we have taken here with Greg. How are you doing, Greg?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad.
So we're looking at everyone at our photos that we took over the last little bit since our last full show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, like we talked about last week, the weather has just been, you know, we have the highlights of highs and then bleh, you know, so I don't know about you, but, you know, this past week, it hasn't been the most photographic, photo friendly week for me anyway,
not really. I had luck on one day, and it's more of the sky. For me, that I lucked out on, and the fact it was rainy, not icy, not snowy, rainy.
Yeah.
However, I think looking at the photos you did, I see a common theme for some strange reason over all three of your photos.
Yes.
And it's that four-lettered white stuff. Now, which one do you want to start on first?
Well, I'll start with... the one with the little bridge.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that one there.
Oh, because I forgot. You have like the regular iPhone, the podcast app for Apple. I know Overcast does it, and a couple others. Mm-hmm. Where if you look at your phone while not driving. But if you look at your phone, you can look at the photos as we're talking about them or go to the website and the photos be uploaded there.
Yes. Yes. Thanks for, you know what? All week I've been thinking, okay, I got to add that in. I got to remember to say that. And what do? I forget.
Forget
about it. it's just part of getting old. So. So, I mean, as I've mentioned before, prior to Christmas, we had this blizzard. And the snow, you know, it just stuck to the trees so well, and just made for some absolutely wonderful photography. And I wish it would just stay like that for like a month until I exhausted myself from all the pictures and photo opportunities. But not so lucky. It only lasted about 4 days or so, and it was gone because we got warm weather and rain again. But while it was here, and after the snow and the winds had died down, I said to my wife, "Let's get out of this house. We're going to go for." We were sick of moving snow and shoveling and everything else. So I thought we're going to go for a little drive around town, see what we can capture. And so we went down to the local park, and the dog was wanting to get out just as much as we were. And so we went down there and took her for a walk, and. This little bridge is just to the left of the frame. There's a little parking spot, and that's where we parked the car. So we walked across this bridge and then, you know, carried on through the park that way. And, you know, it's just a little steel walking bridge that goes over the river that goes through the whole park. And, you know, in the background on the other side of the road coming into the park is these wonderfully snow covered trees. That when there's no snow on them, it's the epitome of stick season. But with the snow on them, the way it stuck to them and the way the wind just drove that snow against them, it just makes for such a nice scene. And we talked about this in our winter photography tips, Dave, about the exposure and how the iPhone or any camera really wants to expose for like 18% gray. And when I took these shots, they were all somewhat dark looking because I didn't bother to overexpose by like a stop or whatever. So luckily, I mean, I just did it in post. But so I definitely had to brighten everything up and to make the snow look nice and white. Otherwise, it looked gray and almost looked dirty. So, tip number one, folks. Remember to overexpose when you're doing snow. And it was an overcast day. It's not like the sun was shining or anything else. So, had the sun been shining, I think there would have been a lot of blue in the snow because the blue sky reflecting down and bouncing off the snow, it makes everything look a blue color. So I'm kind of glad it was overcast. And, you know, if you look at the, on the, this side of the bridge where I was standing, you can see how deep the snow was. The people that work at the park did a wonderful job at cleaning everything out where people, so people can actually go for a walk and enjoy the scenery. And you know what? I think this was actually Christmas Day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, That's really impressive. Yeah. I mean, there was people there was, you know, my hat's off to, the plow drivers and the snow removal people who are doing it for a personal business. They were all out and they got everybody, you know, dug out as quickly as they can. And I wish I could have just sat at a local coffee shop and just handed out a coffee to them, you know, on the house. Like I would have bought them coffees left, right, and center for all the hard work they do because, you know, it really truly is appreciated. But yeah, that's my first image of, what did somebody call it? Winteropolis or something, or. There was Wintergeddon or something. Somebody came up with a name.
Yeah. Well, the two things that really stick out on this image for me is the lace-like pattern on the trees. It almost looked like a white lace doily. Just how the individual smaller branches have little bits. So it's especially like straight ahead. You can see the little, you know, pattern there. And the fact that outside the tree on the right, the red on the bridge is really the only color.
Pretty much.
In the whole image. And that really just stands out a lot more, which is the great thing about winter photography is that you can do are naturally a single color image.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, just because of the amount of snow and everything being covered and being stick season, unless there's evergreens nearby, all the trees are going to be brown. And if there's, you know, they're going to be kind of really muted if they're snow covered. And you just get that one color pop without having to put it through a filter or put it through an editor, which can kind of make it look a little wonky at times, depending on the filter and editor you're using.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's probably why I picked this one too, is because of that color pop that's in the railings on the bridge and basically nowhere else. Like you said, there's a little bit of evergreen in the top right corner, but it's not very prominent in the image, not nearly as much as the bridge for sure.
Now the one go ahead. I say just to bop back to the one I'm going to do. I figure we alternate. This one was actually taken, and I'm actually looking here. It was Wednesday after Christmas, during a run at lunch. So we still had snow left over, but it was warm enough where you could go out and not freeze everything off, which is a nice thing. Yeah. You can also tell it was the week between Christmas and New Year's because I'm in the middle of a road. And there is, this isn't a heavy, heavy traveled road anyway, but there was no one on this road. I literally could have laid down, took it in a nap, and would have been completely safe with this road.
Yeah.
So it is not an issue at all. I did do some editing because since this was in the middle of a run, I basically was running up this hill. This is a decent grade. It's not overly steep, but it's a decent grade. Whipped the camera out, took the photo, also looking into the sun.
Yeah.
The sun was a little behind the tree, so it helped a little bit. We didn't overblow everything. And did some editing on the clouds to really really bring out the detail in the clouds a little bit more. Because a lot of times, unfortunately, you know, if you don't use a dehaze filter or contrast or, you know, clarity, a lot of times the clouds will just have that haze where you don't get that really solid lines between the clouds.
Yeah.
So not really the snow on this one that got to me, but it was just more of the cloud pattern.
Yeah. And When I first looked at this, when you sent it to me today, I didn't realize it was going uphill until now you mentioned it. And now that you do mention it, I can see how it does go uphill, because right to the, you know, to the far right of the frame, you could see, you know, of course you get the curb and the sidewalk, mm-hmm. and then that property, the lawn, it goes up on a fairly big, you know, slant and up to a parking lot, and you can see the buildings up there, and obviously they're higher than the road. But then if you look up near the end of the road, where it looks like it maybe takes a turn to the left, mm-hmm. or is it a crossroad?
It bends over. Yeah.
The cars that are parked there and whatnot, they don't look as high up. So,
right.
You know, you have to really think about it. It makes you think this one about that aspect of it, you know, the fact that it's going uphill. And something else I'm seeing is some, I don't know if it's, is it refracted light on the road? Is it lens flare? You can see some colors there. I see some greens and purples.
I'm thinking that's maybe some refraction off the leftover salt.
Oh, okay.
Did you figure that the roads being this clear, they were definitely were salted?
Yeah.
I see what you're saying on the left there. And
that
also may be a little bit of taking a photo into the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And the aberration that happens because of the sensor being overwhelmed by basically looking right into the sun.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought of that, but yeah. So
maybe a combination of that and picking up colors that really aren't there, but because that yellow is so bright on the upper right.
Yeah.
And just trying to tweak the image so the sun would just not blow everything out.
Right. Yeah.
And this is always the problem with taking a photo into the sun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it messes the rest of the photo up, unfortunately. And without me wanting to go in like little bit by bit and correct this and correct this, which I didn't really want to do.
Right.
Yeah. Also, I was editing on my phone. So editing on my phone after the run. So this was like, got back to my desk. Letting my hands warm up a bit, fall out, so I can use the keyboard successfully, and looking at it on my phone and going, okay, I know what I saw in my mind's eye versus what came up on the phone.
Yeah.
Because if you look above the evergreen tree on the left side, there's a sharp kind of left to right line, almost straight horizontal.
Yeah.
And that's the contrail off of a plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like another one right above it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Going on a bit of an angle.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, shooting into the sun is challenging at best. But I think you kind of got you did pretty good with this one, considering the sun was pretty bright.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like the way the shadow of the tree gives that dappled look on the road. It kind of breaks that up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just this whole thing about it being going uphill, you know, just adds that interest to me, for me too. So, and the clouds, the cloud formations in the sky, what are they called? Like cirrus clouds or something? There's a name for them.
Want to say, yes, I should know per se, but yeah, it just kind of, it's not in the front of my mind right now.
Yeah. But that adds a lot of interest in the sky too. So, I mean, had it been completely cloudless, I don't think it would have been as interesting, in that part of the frame, but it really does add a lot of interest. So, you know, it was a good catch. It was a good time to stop for a picture. And, and I'm glad you didn't take a nap, because you never know what could come along. So for my second one, it's a picture of more snow.
Shocking.
Yeah. Now this was again from that day in the park. And would you believe it, Dave, that on the other side of that fence, it's a mini golf course. Can you tell?
Not at all.
Man, the snow was so deep. It was crazy. Now that fence is, I'm going to say about 4 feet high.
Wow. So
that gives you an idea.
Okay, I wouldn't have guessed that. Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed that. No.
And,
wow.
You know, so when I framed this, so for those who can't happen to see it right now, it's just a small section of a cedar rail fence and the rest of it's snow. Now, on the other side of it, on the left of the frame, there's a couple of shrubs buried in the snow. And then right at the fence, underneath the rail, is some tall grass. But other than that, all that's there is the odd leaf sitting on top of the snow that the wind blew around. Because I don't know about where you are, Dave, but sometimes in the fall, all the leaves don't come off the trees. And sometimes we'll have trees with, you know, brown leaves on them that are there until spring or whatever. And these leaves obviously came from one of those trees. And when I composed this, I wanted the vertical post to be on the left third line. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't want to put the rail across the middle, but it just seemed to work better with the leaves that way. So there's a leaf in the foreground at the bottom of the frame, and there's some leaves up in the top right of the frame, and mm-hmm. some even on the left further back. But I thought it just kind of balanced it out a little better the way it is. So all I did for editing was, if you look carefully, you can see a shadow of the rail on the snow underneath the railing. And I wanted to try to emphasize that the best I could, but to make it darker, I would have lost detail in the rail itself, underneath on the bottom side of the railing.
Right.
So I had to, you know, kind of come to a compromise with how dark I can get those shadows. But, you know, they're there slightly, which is fine. And then, you know what? I didn't notice this till today, but there's an icicle hanging off the end of the rail on the left.
Yep, I see that. Yep.
I never noticed that until today, actually. So,
and honestly, if you would have done the horizontal thirds, it mm-hmm. would have, I don't think it would have worked as well, because you'd be dealing with a lot of white in the front or a lot of white behind.
Yeah.
So unless you want to show like get the really feeling for a barren, and maybe have like the fence rail at the very, very bottom and just have this almost white sheet in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but unless you're doing for that, having it in the middle, like, you know, it's one of those things of never put anything in the direct middle or the, you know, up or down, left or right.
Yeah.
But in this case, I think it works here also because the fence isn't horizontal, 100% horizontal. It looks like it's coming from at least, and I think the snow, the way the snow's laying on it emphasizes this. It looks like it's coming from the upper, from the right down left.
Yeah. Yeah. It does.
And then from the left to in. So it looks like it's actually it's kind of coming in at the vertical post.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very old rails, and, you know, they're not, you know, this one that you say is going up to the right, I think it may be actually somewhat twisted. And that's probably why the snow looks like there's more snow on the left side of it than the right side of it.
Okay, yeah.
But I think if I remember correctly, if I had tilted the camera up to put that horizontal on the lower third, then there would have been objects back there that I didn't want in the frame. Yeah. And you know what? I think I may have cropped this slightly, a little bit off the top and bottom, if I remember correctly.
Okay. And of course, that's why they're called guidelines, not hard and fast rules.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And it's okay to break rules. They're made to be broken at times. So
Exactly.
But so that's another shot with a lot of snow.
Now, Now, these next two shots I had were actually taken today on a run.
Oh, okay.
The first one I'm going to do is the water droplet.
Okay.
Now, this was taken with the macro lens. So this is just me trying. There's tree, which is really knobby type of branches on it.
Mm-hmm.
And me just getting as close as I can while keeping everything in focus. And when it came out, the branch was like really, really dark. Oh, it was 100% overcast today. There, I mean, literally, you looked up and it was a sheet of white in the sky.
Yeah.
So so I had to import this into Lightroom, and Lightroom did a great job mm-hmm. bringing out some of the details in the branch that you could see on the photo that you could see with your naked eye.
Yeah.
The other thing I loved was how clear the raindrop was at the bottom. Where you actually, it acted like a crystal ball.
Like a lens ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, it's a lens ball.
Yeah.
Because you can see like the telephone poles and the trees that are on the other side of the image in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you can
see the photographer there.
I see that. Yeah. At the very bottom of the thing. I just noticed you can see my head right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So it's pretty, and it was one of those things where it was a rainy day. It was like a light drizzle in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just annoying. But when we were talking about the weather differences, it was almost 50.
Wow.
And now we had today off of work because of New Year's. Being on a Sunday, you know, for the run, when I had the run, the New Year's being, so I had the Monday off, which was nice. But honestly, because it was a holiday, you know, like I guess there are people called a bank holiday.
Yeah.
Even if we were in the office, we couldn't do anything because they were still doing inventory. So we couldn't ship anything out and all the banks and everything. So we couldn't charge anyone anything. Yeah. So that makes a big difference. But yeah, like I said, the way if you get the image, you can zoom in, you can actually see a lot of detail in that drop, including the very bottom of the branch, which, you know, almost if you take that, crop it, turn it upside down, it would, you know, you could do something with that maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because it almost looks like a rock outcropping almost.
Yeah, it does. Okay, so
the
question that comes to my mind was the drip quick or was it just kind of hanging there?
It was there. It was just hanging there.
Okay, so you had lots of time to compose and everything else?
Yep, I took multiple pictures. I took pictures of other branches. I even got one that was a lot closer, but it just didn't turn out as crisp. So maybe I was just too close.
Oh, yeah, that could be.
Yeah,
you look like you're like really close to this.
Yeah, this one I was an inch or two away.
Yeah.
So I was close, but the other one I was even closer, but it just didn't get, I think I was too close. It just didn't get clear.
Right.
And I did check it, and this was with the ultra wide.
Right. Okay.
So it was the automatic macro to it.
Yeah. Well, I love that the water droplet is the principal part that's in focus, because that is the focal point of the image for sure. Mm-hmm. When I first saw this, I thought, oh, this is awesome. And I ain't going to lie to you. I didn't notice you in the bottom of the drip.
I didn't notice until you told me.
I mentioned it. Yeah. But I love that's there. I love that your reflection is there. And, you know, like you say, you managed to pull the detail out of the shadows really good. And the tip of the branch where the drip's hanging, you know, there's this detail there. It almost looks like an insect in a cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
or almost an amber.
Yeah, yeah. But you could, and you know, with the background, you can see that it's on a street and it's hanging over the road, mm-hmm. Because you can see the power lines and a small tree in the background on the right. You're going to see a building on the left. No idea where it is or what these buildings are or whatever, but that don't matter because my eye just keeps going. Basically, it starts on the left side on that little piece hanging down on the left. Mm-hmm. It goes up and around, and I check out, you know, the features of the little branch, and then it always goes right down to that drip. Oh. And then back again. And it just keeps going back and forth. So compositionally, I think it's really great because the drip looks like it's in the bottom right crossover where the two thirds would cross. And I mean, that's just in my mind, that's just a perfect spot mm-hmm. for it. There's not too much extra room on the right or on the bottom. It's just right. To keep just enough to keep you interested, and it's a very well composed shot.
No, thank you, man. Like I said, it's one of those things of a shot you can get with mobile photography that you maybe can't get otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
Because honestly, like I said, I got this during a run, and if I'm running, I'm not going to carry anything heavy.
No, that's right.
You know, so the fact that I can just pull this out, saw it, and it's like, that looks interesting. Pull it out, take the shot.
Yep.
Yeah, just trying to keep my eyes open.
Yeah.
Okay. The last snow photo you have.
Yeah. This one here. I had two other ones that I wanted to pick, but I chose this one because Glass chose this one.
Oh.
So let me explain. Daniel Agee, who was on the show, I guess back in the fall, maybe late summer, early fall, he's from Glass, and they put out a monthly newsletter. And this month, for the month of January, so with every newsletter they put out, a new topic. So in Glass, you can... In the search, you can search by, a list of photographers that you don't follow yet, or you can go by category. So every month they add a new category, and this month they happen to add winter.
Mm.
So they, in their post, they put this picture, and I thought that's really cool. And you know, they credit my name at the bottom and everything. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really neat that they of all the winter pictures that I put up there, this is the one they chose. And this is just a window on the back of my house, on the back of the garage, actually. And you know, the snow was just blowing around and it just built up on this window. And that's basically end of story as far as you know, how it got to be the way it is. So all I did in darkroom was I straightened it a little bit. Because I didn't want to stand in 4 feet of snow to take this picture, so I was off to the side a little bit.
100% understandable.
Yeah. So I had to fix the skew a little bit and the level and all that stuff. And then once I got that done, I just made sure it was cropped, you know, evenly on both sides, top. Well, there's a little more room on the top and the bottom, but that's fine. But I think it's pretty close to the same amount on the sides. And then I just, you know, I did a clarity adjustment, I think, you know, maybe bump the whites just a wee bit, brought down the shadows to make the where the vinyl siding is to kind of give it more definition between the pieces of siding and give it a slight vignette. And I think that was about it. So, you know, that's my feature on Glass, which I was pretty happy about. And not like it, you know, like I said, not much of a story behind this one. It was just it could have been when the, let me see if I could find when I took that, because I was taking pictures. Okay. So that was Christmas Eve and it hadn't quite stopped blowing around yet. So it might've been a little breezy at that time, even when I took that. And, but luckily there was no snow blowing, you know, right through the frame at the time, but you know, that might've been kind of neat, but
yeah, it turned out good though.
Yeah. Thank you. Just a square window with snow on it. pretty much all
I
mean, it is.
Sometimes, like I said, and honestly, just having that, I hate to say honest photo, but a photo which is just, you know, life as you see it, as you may be walking by.
Yeah,
but the pattern, the snow is what also brings the interest.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay, so on that point, Dave.
Yeah.
How did you see that little droplet on the branch? What made you stop to take that?
Well, actually, that tree, it was kind of a large tree, and there were droplets all along the branches.
Okay.
So it was me coming up to the tree, seeing the droplets on it, turning the corner, but seeing that particular one, which was at the very bottom, kind of hanging off.
Oh, low hanging fruit.
Exactly. And it was, I was a little concerned that if I got too close or if I shook it, it would drop off.
Ah,
but those are, I don't know what tree this is. We have a few trees like that around the area. It's a really knobby kind of branches.
Okay, yeah.
So you can see it's a really rough and it's like really knobby and doesn't really flow, but it kind of boom, 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 and really rough branches. So they give you a little extra texture detail.
And that little extra grip for the water then too, then.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, that was not like a thin little, even though it was at the very end, it was actually pretty substantial. It's like maybe half inch wide.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was a substantial very at the end there.
That's the thing about macro, is you can't really judge how big it is unless you've got something familiar in there to give you a sense of scale.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
Okay.
All right.
So, I would say my last one here.
Oh, yeah.
This is one I did a good amount of editing on.
I like this one.
Yeah,
this is the
church one. And one thing I did when I went on the run that day, and I honestly didn't plan it this way, but the way I ran, I happened to run by 6 churches.
Oh, neat.
And it was, even though it was a 5-mile run, the churches were not that far apart. I mean, we're talking corner church, next corner church.
Okay.
And then if you go maybe 2-3 roads parallel to it, another church. You know, so the churches were all pretty close together. I just did a lot back and forth on the running.
Yeah.
But this is one of them where the door is a very, the actual color of the door is pretty close to the color that it came out on the photo here, even with all the editing. Yeah. So I wanted to keep at least the color of the door close. So this was done in, Lightroom Mobile, where I did the mix color. And I took everything but the red and the green down to 0 for saturation.
Yeah.
And I did some clarity to really bring out the kind of the rough stone to get some more detail and some more pattern there.
Yeah, that looks really good too. And in the road too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I tried with green down to 0, but it just didn't look quite, the green and the red looked better with each other than just the red by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can see there's a tree off on the right with a little bit of red.
Yeah.
And the leaves, and this is just red brick road.
Okay, yeah.
So you can see a little bit of red popping in versus the brown. So there's some red tinge on some of those, but the door is the main image there that really gets your, at least it really got my attention.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
so that really just popped out there. And they still had the wreaths up on the doors.
Oh, yeah.
For Christmas. So it was another
good reason to keep the green in it.
Exactly. And the one thing I kind of liked is having that, the hands on the clock really struck out.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, that's cool.
I forget exactly what color it was before I did the editing. Actually, you know what? I have an unedited. They were bright white. So the hands are bright white.
Yeah.
The actual clock face is black. It's like a black wrought iron.
Okay, yeah.
But the rest of the church, it is an older church, obviously, looking at it. And it looks like it has not been cleaned in a while.
Yeah.
Because all the black, that all the dark spots on there are black.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like a leftover from 40, 50 years ago. You know, because in Oakmont, where the church is and where I ran was, did have a mill in it up until 1990.
Oh, okay.
There was a mill in there. So obviously, if you lived anywhere with a steel mill and you had stonework, your stonework got nasty and black.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Soot covered. And unless you cleaned it every so often, now, admittedly, they can bring out a lot of character in the building.
Yeah.
My high school, which was built in 1925, you can see pictures in the 1950s before they cleaned it, where the outside of the building, it was the same kind of hard, you know, hewn stone,
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Limestone. It was black. You know, it was like soot-covered black. Then they cleaned it, and then it was this light yellow color when they you know power washed it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Obviously with this one, it's been a while since they've washed it.
Oh yeah.
It has to be this dark because, like I said, it's been 40 years since the mill shut down.
Yeah.
And there's not really any mills close by anymore.
Yeah. Well, it just gives it so much character, right?
It does. It does. Yeah.
Now the big glass window. Mm-hmm. Was it like a stained glass of any sort? Yeah.
It's a stained glass, but it has a kind of protective outside. So you don't, even on the regular photo, the stained glass doesn't really pop.
Okay.
So when you look at it, you can see the stained glass pieces, but from the distance and the glare with the overly white sky, which, by the way, when I took down the blues and everything, it kind of took any tone out of the sky.
Oh, yeah.
But I would say the sky was, like I said, it was a solid white. There was, yeah, it was just complete overcast, you know, pack there.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I said, I love the red door there and the framing of the glass above the door. And the other thing that's kind of weird is, and it really isn't red. It's more of a reflection maybe of the tree. But on the signage out in front, it looks like there's a little red banner on it.
Yeah.
But that's more of a reflection of the, because that's where it says Sunday service.
Oh,
and it
okay.
has kind of the poster of what's happening that week.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's St. Well, Thomas Episcopalian Church.
Yeah.
And it's just a reflection. I think it may even be a reflection a little bit of the tree or something else off of it that's a light that just picked up
red. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love the character of it. Do you happen to know when this church was built?
I do not know.
Okay.
No.
Because it's really cool. It's got a lot of good character and it's the stonework that does that, mm-hmm. you know, and the residue that's on the stones. And I just love old buildings like this. We have an intersection in town here. They call it the four church corners or the four corner churches, I think, or whatever it's called. But anyway, there's a church on each corner of this intersection. And, you know, one of these days but the worst part about it is it's on the busiest street in town. And it would be kind of difficult to get a picture of all four especially if I wanted to go, you know, back any distance from them, because two of them are right on the corner and then the other two are kind of set back a bit. One of these days I'll get a picture of all four, but, I love that you, did this whole color removal thing, except for the red and green. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not only, like Christmas colors, you know, for this time of year with the wreaths on the doors and everything. But I think it was the right move because it's just leaving just enough color in it to make it interesting. And, you know, the doors that's where the eyes go for sure.
Yeah.
I love red doors. I've got a picture with my old Canon of these doors on this one church that's on these four corners. And I called it the red door because it's a beautiful red door on an old building like that. And, you know, luckily those leaves were still there. That's what I was talking about earlier when there's trees that don't lose all their leaves in the winter. And, you know, that just adds that little bit of a little bit more interest in the image too. It kind of complements the doors a little bit. And I'm just trying to visualize what it would be like if it wasn't there. I think it would be okay,
yeah.
But I like that they're there.
Mm-hmm. Now, I did happen to look up this particular church. This was the New Stone Church when it was built in 1907.
Oh, wow. 115 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I like about it is there's a hint of color still in some of the stones, especially on the corner where it has that like an octagonal tower, I guess you could say, or part of the tower that goes up right on the very corner. Mm-hmm. You can still see some of the red in the stones in there.
There's just a little bit there. And like I said, I think there's a little bit of green in the sky. And I think that's because when I took the blue out, it was some of the leftover. And honestly, this is also what the difference between the free version and the paid version of Lightroom Mobile, the free version does not have masking.
Oh, right, right.
Where if I did the paid version, I could mask out the sky and get rid of the green only there and keep, or, you know, I could even, because there are some parts of the church itself that have a little bit of green on them also.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And some of that is just kind of, you figure there's a lot, there was probably some copper used with some in the metalwork. Oh, yeah. So a little bit of that. Yeah. And maybe a little bit, if you look near the top where the shutters look, where the mm-hmm. bell tower is, a little bit of moss growth up there.
Oh, yeah. 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 Like I say, you know, it has so much character. And if this isn't far from home or whatever, I'd love to see a shot of this in the fall when the colors are changed you know, in full color. I'd love to see a shot of that. That would be cool.
I have to keep that
preferably with a nice bright blue sky, sunshiny day. I think that would really set it off.
That would be very nice. I would love to have a bright blue sky.
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't we all?
Yeah, exactly. I don't see that happening anytime soon, but yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a really cool shot. I'm a sucker for red door pictures, and these are definitely red.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, cool. Well, you know what? I just wanted to mention this real quick for you. Something to think about. Darkroom. The subscription is only like $24, $25 a year. I forget what it is.
No, that's very reasonable.
For a whole year, but it has masking.
Ah, that makes a big difference.
So if masking is something that you'd be interested in, take a look at it. And, you know, they got some videos on YouTube that show some of these new features of this big update that they put out. And I subscribe to it. It's like, I think for me, it's $25 a year. So for you, maybe it's like $19.99 or something like that for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what it is, but it's a lot cheaper than Lightroom. That's for sure. And who knows? It might be, you know, something that you might want to add to your kit. Who knows? But anyway, food for thought.
Oh, yeah.
So, definitely. Well, I guess that's it for this week, Dave. Just to remind everybody where they could find you.
Yeah, you can find me on most social media as Prof Pod, on TikTok as Prof Pod PGH, and the Facebook group is Dave Podner Jr.
Alrighty. And you could find me, and again, all the links are in the show notes, or most of them anyway. You could find me on the Facebook group and on Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff. If the links aren't in the show notes, you can find them at about.me/McMillan. And thanks, Dave.
Greg, real quick.
Yep.
I was just looking up information on that church, and there is a new movie out called A Man Called Otto that stars
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. Yes. There was a scene from the movie filmed at that church.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
I'm not sure which one, but a scene from A Man Called Otto was filmed at that church.
Well, I might have to check that out. I saw trailers for that, and I've been watching recently. I've been watching a show called The Capture on Amazon Prime. It's all about, you know, the CCTVs over in London, England, and what they do with them and stuff. It's a really interesting show, but I don't know if that A Man Called Otto is going to be on there, or if it's going to be on Apple TV, or where it's going to be. But I saw some previews, and I'll have to look that up and see where it's going to be. It'll be somewhere after the theatrical release, I'm sure. But interesting. Okay. All right. Well, thanks again, Dave. You know, we're flying through the year already. Oh, yeah. And, you know, everybody, you know, don't forget there's a, as a kind of a branch off from the Facebook group, the iPhotography Podcast Facebook group, there's a messenger chat. And again, right now I haven't done anything with it other than have a main chat room or whatever. But if there's anything you'd like to have us talk about on the show, or have any suggestions, or we're open to comments and everything else, go ahead and throw them in there. And, you know, it, you know, sometimes, I don't know about you, Dave, but sometimes I have a brain fart and I don't think of things to talk about until we hit the air.
That is true.
I think, you know, didn't we do that with Tiny Shutter too at times?
Oh, lots of times.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're no stranger to it, but it's still, it would be nice if we had some requests for topics and whatnot. So don't hesitate, folks, to put some stuff in there. And, you know, even just a comment about the show, let us know what you think. We're always open to comments and critique. So, okay. Well, thanks again, Dave. And I guess we'll see you all in the next one.
Have a great one, everyone.